In this setting, the Lord Jesus aimed to turn us from religion to revelation. We have to turn from religion to revelation in these times because religion would not work. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
And the text is going to reveal how to turn from religion to revelation. Let's just write this down. Developing soul, S-O-U-L, intimacy with God. Developing soul, intimacy with God. Maybe I'll say a few things to you before I read the scriptures. Satan questioned your identity when your soul is not built on a proper foundation of truth. He questioned your identity. He cannot question your spirit. He questioned your soul, which includes your mind, your conscience, your emotion, your imagination, your will. Satan makes his creeps in your life through the cracks in your soul. Blind spots in your mind, emotion, conscious, imagination, and desire. That's where you get in at. And so we're talking about in this text tonight how getting the holes, H-O-L-E-S, out of your soul. Another aspect of it, because when we go into the text, we'll go deeper in it. Letting the Holy Spirit hold, H-O-L-D, your soul in place through your spirit. Letting the Holy Spirit hold your soul in place through your spirit. One more thing, then I'll read the text. That your soul can be continually be filled with renewing truth. What I say? Renewing truth. See? That your soul can continually be filled with renewing truth. Your soul need that. Now in Matthew 22, Jesus deal with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, all religious stuff. And I took up at verse 34 because some very clear things are going to be said about your soul, because for many years, myself and the people that I pastored, we didn't really know that our heart, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about our soul. When the Bible talks about the mind, it's talking about the soul. When the Bible talks about the inner man, it's talking about the soul, but it has not touched the spirit. You see, you're not a new creature in your soul. You're not a new creature. You're a new creature in your spirit. Now, let me give you insight before I start working these principles tonight on developing soul intimacy with God. Your spirit is love, because the Bible says God is love, and your spirit, a born-again believer's spirit, take up on the divine nature of God, not your soul. You got to train your soul, but your spirit is the love of God.
Yes,
all right? Now, in this text, in Matthew 22, verse 34, we deal with another religion. He just shut the Sadducees down. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Now you got to deal with a lawyer here and the Pharisees. Verse 34, Jesus is going to deal with him. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, religion, you see, they were gathered together. Let's try him. Then one of them, now watch who it was a lawyer. asked him a question, tempting him and saying, now notice he called him Master. Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Sometimes they poke fun at us, you know. They don't really realize who we are, and they think they're higher than we are. So they kind of say Master, or Reverend, or Bishop, you know, they kind of make fun of it, you know. You just don't let it be real. Master, what is your great commandment in the law? Jesus, who said it? Verse 37, Jesus is our speaker now. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now notice he never said nothing about your spirit. But through Baptist tradition, the heart and the spirit was the same. But they're not. The heart and the soul is the same. The mind comes out of the soul. It's the same. You see it?
Yeah.
All right. Now notice here, because he's going to say all three, but he's repeating himself in the same dimension. Jesus said unto him, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, with all thy soul, soul, and with all thy mind, soul. See, this is the first commandment. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou love thyself. And then he says this in verse 40. And this is why with I'm going to give you three things to think about your soul. Holes, cracks, and wound. Holes, cracks, and wound. This is the way that Satan enter in, get us depressed, get us under anxiety, get us in worry, get us in fear. Especially in time like this, he come through a hole, he come through a crack. Are you following him? Or he come through some wound that he have in our soul. That's why in Psalm 139, verse 23, the psalmist says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So it's a soul you got to do when you're repenting. You're repenting about something that had transpired in your soul. Yeah, Jesus laid out in that 37 voice, key voice, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, in the next text, before we go to principles, it shows us clearly how to pray for our soul. In Ephesians chapter 3, turn there if you will. It shows you how to get the cracks, how to get the holes out of your soul. How to get the wounds out of your soul. I mean, you got to come to a point where you repent because the Holy Spirit is going to reveal something you did to violate the word of God. But there in Ephesians 3:20, just turn to Ephesians 3. I'm about 3:20 and 9 to him. I know that. But Ephesians 3:14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father. And we're dealing with the soul. That's why we want to create intimacy with God, develop our soul intimacy with God, get close to God in our mind, in our conscious, in our imagination. You're talking about how powerful it is when we do this and when we know how to do it. And definitely we need to know how to do it. All right, the 14th verse says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, notice verse 16, because again, he's going to be talking about the soul. Watch what he said. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. The inner man there, if you look in the Greek, he's talking about the soul again. Talking about the heart again. All right? Talking about the mind. That Christ, now watch. Both texts in when he dealt with the religious people in Matthew, and now he's dealing with his children, he telling them how to have a strong soul. It's a soul filled with love. Okay? He goes on and says in the 16th verse that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. See? That Christ may dwell in you. There it is again. Hearts. That's your soul. By faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then he says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, because your soul is in intimacy with God, therefore it's not blocking your spirit. Your soul is not in prison. Your soul is not being persecuted, because you know how to protect your soul. That's so important, how to protect your soul. And we'll get to it in one of these principles. Now, just for aid in this, I'll start with principle one in a few moments on developing soul intimacy with God. Just for aid with this, look in Romans 9:1. Look in Romans 9:1. Because it's talking about your conscience, but it's also talking about your soul. You know, he said, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. It's actually saying my soul bearing me witness with the Holy Ghost. But your spirit is involved there. Your spirit is the one make contact with the Holy Spirit, but yet your soul got to cooperate with your spirit. All right, so that's a good, I want you to see that. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. Or he said, or you could be saying my soul, or my mind, my imagination, they're all there, also bearing witness, me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, one more that I want to show you is a flip-flop one, but I want you to catch it. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, these people were using it wrong, but the imagination can be used right. And look what he says about the imagination there. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them what they have imagined to do. So that voice, he had to stop them because they were doing it without him. But we are doing it with him. Therefore, our imagination is a part of our soul. When he speak about imagination, he's talking about your soul. So therefore, can you see that?
Yes, sir.
If they couldn't be stopped doing something wrong, what about us doing something right and using our imagination, seeing it before it happened, having a picture of it, all right? Now, wait a minute. I got to get Genesis 11:6, all right, the imagination. Oh, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we don't need to go there, you know it. He said, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That particular scripture is talking about soul repair. It's not talking about your spirit. Those imagination, those high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God pass through your thinking, your soul, your imagination. That's what he's talking about. Many people don't know when he talks about that. That's what he's talking about in Paul ministering to us, all right? So we're talking about cracks, holes, and wounds the enemy want in our soul. We're going to take them out tonight. Turn to John chapter 8, verse 31, and I'm going to give you a principle. I'm going to give you a revelation that will serve you well from now on. For instance, knowing the truth will not set you free. Knowing the truth will not set you free. Now let's look at the whole statement in John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, though they believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. How many see that? All right, now, what is at the end of that verse? What the punctuation is? That means it's something else got to connect to it. There's no period there.
Right.
Then you go and you shall know the truth.
Yeah.
And the truth shall make you free. But just knowing the truth, and you go out there and think, you know, I know the truth. Me, yeah, are you doing it?
Yes, sir.
Go back to verse 31.
Yeah.
I want you to see that. Renewing your soul, for instance, knowing the truth would not set you free. Is doing the truth. Knowing and doing. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. They believed on him. If you continue in my word, the word and truth is synonymous when the revelation comes. So it could be said, if you continue in my truth, then you shall, then are you my disciple indeed. Look at verse 32 now, I'll say something about that. And you shall know the truth, and you shall know my word.
Yeah.
And the word shall make you free.
Right.
You see? So a lot of time we're using scriptures, and for many years I've used that scripture, but that scripture didn't end in verse 31, it ends in verse 32. So you can't take 32 without 31. The next thing I want you to know. Renewing your soul will take revelation. Because when your soul is, you go to cracks in the holes in the wound. When your soul is renewed by revelation, transformation called for light, Romans 12:2. Very scripture we use all the time. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. See, transformation take place by the renewing of your mind. And look what it said, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will. Look at those three descriptions. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. With a renewed soul, a renewed mind, a renewed heart, a renewed inner man. That's what he's talking about, a renewed conscience. See, they all get renewed. Even your emotion get renewed because you know how to carry yourself when you get that soul renewed. So renewing your soul take revelation. Then transformation call for light. Then light will come in your soul. All right. Why do the Bible talks about this? Look in the 23rd Psalm in the third verse. Why in the midst of all the goodness that Jesus talking about, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look in this 23rd chapter in the third verse. You get to a point, you lead us green path, lead us out of the water. But before you can function properly, I love it. Before you can function properly in righteousness, or before you can walk the path of righteousness, something has to be done. Isn't that something? I'm saved, but there's something hindering me from walking in my rights. There's something hindering me from functioning in my redemption as I desire to function. I can't find out what it is. I prayed in tongues 3 hours.
Yeah.
I praise God. What's blocking me? How is Satan tricking me? He's doing it through your soul. And that's what we hear about tonight. It says, soul restoration. I read that scripture many times. He restoreth my soul. I read it many times. I didn't know what I was reading. Tell you the truth about it. He leaded me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And then it dawned on me. I can't walk the path of righteousness, even though I have a right to, but if my soul out of order, I'm not. Because Satan gonna keep through the crack, through the hole, and through the wound, keep tricking me. So he restores my soul. Then he leads me. So every sin that Christians are committed, every habit they have that they can't correct, is a soul issue. It's not their spirit. It's a soul issue. And the average Christian, my brothers and sisters, do not know, hallelujah, do not know anything about their soul. That means they just think it's just a point. No, God, the Lord said, look what he told you to love him with all thy soul. All our mind, all our heart, all our strength. He's talking about because your spirit already loves him. Your spirit is him. God is love. Your spirit is love. The new creature in you, the divine nature in you and I, it's love. It's already there. But we got this soul and our senses, body. All right? So now, in order to walk by faith and to walk in the redemptive right we have, we're going to have to get soul restoration. There it is in Psalm 23:3. Then why would he talk about this in Matthew 11? Now he talk about soul rest, resting in your soul. So that means the turbulence in a Christian life, the worry and the fear in a Christian life about anything, sickness, finances, family, the turbulence come through the soul. Once you understand this and stop and deal with your soul, then your spirit is able to kick in, then nothing impossible. Let's look at it quickly. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Once you learn this lesson, you gone. I really believe it because, you know, people love God. I know a lot of people love God, but you just got to know how to deal with it. You know, you just got to know how to have that intimacy with God through your soul. And you're going to have to do something about it. You're the one. You know, somebody praying for you, that'll help you. But you got to do something about it. You got to know something about it. How can I deal with this? Are y'all out there? Are y'all listening to me? Are we dealing with, let me back up here and get it. Because developing soul intimacy with God, getting the cracks out, getting the hole out, getting holes out, getting the wounds out, all right? So most people, most Christians are wounded in their soul and don't know it, and they don't know why they can't escape the mess that the enemy. Now, rest, unrestful Christian. I mean, the news media, everybody going AWOL, people dying left and right, But it's no time to be unrestful, but if your soul is not in place, it's going to cause you to be in fear, doubt, worry, and attract stuff to you. Tonight, we want to put the light out on that. And so, you had Matthew already? All right, look at Matthew now. I said from religion to righteousness, I believe. Here you got rebellion, from rebellion to revelation and rest. The whole 11th chapter, you read the whole 11th chapter, you'll see a lot of rebellion. Whole city refused to repent. You're going to see John the Baptist come into a soul problem. He asked, "Is you the one, or do we look for another?" He had a soul problem. John, he had a soul problem, so the Lord tried to bring him back in the spirit by telling him spiritual things that was happening. The blind was seeing, the lamb was walking. He's trying to bring him back because his soul had blocked him from recognizing John who he was. So here in the 11th chapter of Matthew, now in the 25th verse, at that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." Why is this? Now, I don't want you to miss this, because there's so many stupid things being said out there. "Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent." You see that? "From the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes." So when you hear a whole lot of stupid stuff, don't get upset. Just go on in the room and lay down and rest your nerves, because you're going to hear a lot of that. Then he said in 26, "But even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things," now here in verse 27, "all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father," all right? Then he said this, "Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." You got that divine right. Then he said this now, you go to dealing with your soul. The only reason we walk in revelation, but the soul block it. Watch, verse 28. "Come unto me," Jesus called, "all ye that" what? "Labor." We're not supposed to be laboring then. "And heavy labor," we're not supposed to. "I will give you" what?
Rest.
Now he tell you how he's going to give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in the heart." What he saying out here? "And you shall find" what?
Rest.
"Rest unto" what? So he's talking about soul rest, isn't it? "For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light." Amen? Now, I'll go over something with you. I want you to study Psalm 142 and Psalm 143. And I want you to tie it in with 3 John 2. Because I want you to see in Psalm 142, a soul in prison. In Psalm 143, I want you to see what happened when there's a persecuted soul. And then in 3 John 2, I want you to see how to have a prosperous soul. You got them?
Yeah.
Soul in prison. A Christian. Christian souls can be in prison. Souls persecuted. In Psalm 142, the man said, I don't have nobody helping with my soul. You'll see it. You read it. In Psalm 143, it mentions soul about 5 times. It said, my soul is afflicted. It says, because his soul was persecuted in the 3rd verse of Psalm 143, 3, because his soul was persecuted, it said, my spirit is overwhelmed. Actually, what he's saying, my spirit can't function because my soul is under persecution. My mind is under persecution. My imagination is under persecution. You see it? And it happened to all of us. I mean, everybody in here. It happened to everyone. But when you know how to deal with it, that's when the freedom comes, all right? So let me say it again. I got it. I'm going to give it to you so you can have it because you're going to need to do it. Soul rescue. How to rescue your soul. And that's Psalm 142, 143. Out of prison, out of being persecuted, and how to place your soul in a prosperous position. Turn to Psalm 103, a lot of verses. I wrote down soul training in knowing how to bless God at all times. Psalm 103, 1. Soul training in knowing how to bless God at all time. And then I wrote this. I know you won't get this. If you know, learn how to do this, you come to the revelation that soul benefits are real. 5 benefits he talked about there. 5 benefits. But your soul got to be involved. Notice he didn't say your spirit. He said, bless the Lord, all my spirit. No. Bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Look at the next verse, 2nd verse. Look what he said. Bless the Lord. Look again. Oh, my soul. And forget not all his benefits. So if Satan can trick me, here's another thing. In the early part of my ministry, I thought my spirit and soul were the same thing. Then I thought my heart and spirit were the same thing. So therefore, my spirit, my heart, and my soul were not being trained because I thought they all was in the same thing. So Satan came into the church, and that's the way he did it. It's a soul issue. Eve had a soul issue. See, it's a soul issue. What the Lord is training us tonight is what we have to watch for and protect is our soul. Amen. Now, let me try to get it to you. I love Psalm 103. Go to the 3rd verse now. Forget all the benefit. Who forgiveth all our iniquity. Who healeth all our diseases. Go to the next verse. Who redeemed our life from destruction. 5 things. Who crowned thee with loving kindness. I tell them, I know them by heart. I love it. I tell them, who satisfied our mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Yeah, well, you getting old. Talk about you getting old. You getting old because you don't know those benefits. You getting old because you got mass mind talking to you. What I mean by mass mind, I mean by every mind you get on the bus with. Your mind be talking to you. You go to the store, you go down the aisle, the mind be talking to you. That's mass mind. You got to be protected. When you go to the store, you got to be protected that you ain't going to let mass mind get in your mind. So keep developing a prosperous soul. I love it. 3 John 2, I love it. Now, look at Psalm 139, verse 14. And when I read this, I said, having a soul that knows right well, that my soul knows right well. What? Didn't say my spirit. He said, in my soul, and this lesson is based on that. I could have named the subject, a soul that knows right well. See, because now you'll be able to deal with things when they come. Look at that 139:14. That's help right there. That's healing right there. Yeah. I would pray thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy work. Wait a minute. Look what he said at the end, though. And my spirit and my soul knows right well. Why? My spirit already know. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. My spirit, 2 Peter, I'm partaking of the divine nature. My spirit already know. It's soul training, baby. We're on a soul train tonight. See? Having a soul that knows right well. Having a soul know that this attack is only temporary. Having a soul to know that my faith going to win. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but you got to have, so your soul, see, that's the cry in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Your whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified. That's the cry in Romans 12:1-3. It's talking about the body, the soul, and your faith. That's the cry. Hebrews 4:12. It's talking about rightly separating the spirit, soul, and body. And the end of Hebrews 4:12, he says, look what he said at the end of Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is a discerner of the intent and thought of the heart. Of what? Of the soul. See, the word works. The word has to work on the soul, because the soul blocking what the spirit trying to get through. Amen. Amen. Look at it. Are y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, let me take you a little further. Loving God with your soul is a master key of soul strength. Romans 5:1-4 talk about a battle, talk about access by faith, et cetera, et cetera. But when you get to Romans 5:5, look what he said. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. See. Loving God with your soul is a master key of soul strength. And then you have the prayer in Ephesians, and then you have what I read in Matthew 22:34-40. Now, this is a long, odd one, so I'm just going to give it to you so you're doing your study time. The word must be mixed with faith for rest. In Hebrews 4:1-11, now the rest that remain for the children of God, but it has to be mixed with faith, and your soul has to get involved. The next thing, I'm going with that, information and transformation are two different things. A whole lot of information without transformation. You're going to take Hebrews 4:12 to call it the transformation. Romans 12:2, all right? Instruction, integrity, increase in a man. All of those, your soul has something to do with that. Developing soul intimacy. I give you the soul intimacy prayer, Ephesians 3:14. I give it to you already. All damage, all deception, all detours, all doubt come through your soul, which is not properly attended to. The average Christian never heard this all over the world. All damage, all deception, all detours, all doubt come through your soul, which is not a proper tenitude. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6 right quick. Jeremiah 6, 16. I'm just about to close. It's been over half hour. Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Now I'm calling you tonight, those of who God have chose to be in this service. I'm going to read this verse again because this modernism have come into the church and taken from the old path of being anointed, being holy, being wise, and then having the fear of the Lord in our lives. See, thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where's the good way? And walk therein, they can call you foggy and all they want, and you shall find rest for your soul. So in this new religion, these new revelation without Christ, science of the mind, new age, all of these large following, but they don't have it. See, there it is right there. And you should find rest for your soul. And they say it, and they're saying it right now. We will not walk there. And give me the next verse. Give me the 17th verse. Watch what happened. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. I'm blowing the trumpet. Oh, tonight. But they said, we will not hearken. Hearken, I remember a long time ago, listening with the intent to do. We will not hearken. And so they can't find rest for their soul. You see that?
Yeah.
I said, do you see that?
Yes,
y'all meditate those voices. And you know what Mary did? Once God was so good to her, we all got a right to do this. In Luke 1:46, magnifying the Lord with thy soul is important. Now, here's what I'm going to do, class. The intimacy of the soul, developing the soul. I've shared many things with you, but I'm going to give you this last one. How to develop a prosperous soul, soul rescue. You remember? Soul rest, soul restoration. I give you a lot of stuff tonight. Soul training, a prosperous soul, a persecuted soul, soul in prison. I gave that in Psalm 142. I just want you to have it so you can read it, so you can start developing your intimacy with God through your soul. I want to give you this last one to add on to it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. And what I'm doing to you, my brothers and sisters, tonight is we're going to drop the anchors to your soul. You want to anchor your soul out. Because a lot of stuff going to keep coming to you, but you won't be moved. You see, you got your anchors down. Then Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. I'm so glad about that. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, you remember what happened in Romans 5:5, right? No, you don't remember. Romans 5:5. Go back there again. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us, right? So hope has something to do with it. Now, watch what hope do in verse 19 of the 6th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 6:19. And I'll close there. Where my backup at? Better shake him up. I'm closing. You never know when I'm going to close. Watch hope. Here we go now.
Yes.
We have as a what?
Anchor.
anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And which entered into that which within the veil. But what I want you to see, after sharing all of this with you tonight, that you have to drop your anchor of hope in your soul. Are you following me?
Yes,
now, class, that can't be made no clearer. Developing soul intimacy with God. Satan questions your identity when your soul is not built on a proper foundation of truth. Remember that? Satan makes his creeps in your life through the cracks in your soul, blind spots in your mind, emotion, conscience. Yeah, you're saved. Imagination. All right, let me give you one more scripture. Turn to Psalm chapter 7, verse 1. Psalm 7, verse 1. In my study, this scripture came up. It says, O Lord my God, indeed do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Go to verse 2. We'll go to 3 or 4 verses. Lest he tear my soul like a lion. See that? Lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there's none to deliver. Go to the next verse. Oh Lord my God, if I had done this, if there be iniquity in my hand, go to the next verse, verse 4. If I rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yeah, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy. And then verse 5. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Let him tread down my life. See, these are the type of things the enemy can do if you don't know how to protect your soul. See, he'll make somebody rub you wrong in the store. He'll make somebody throw on brakes in front of you. No red light nowhere. No stop sign. Just throw it on brakes. You got to be calm, man. And let him tread down my life on the earth and lay my honor in the dust. See, Satan rob us, make us live ungodly lives through our soul, through our feeling, through our emotion. But this lesson was designed that you can go to it, take any one of these scriptures, you know, Psalm 23:3, and he restores my soul. I need my soul restored. When I'm unrestful, when I'm angry, when it don't seem like my prayer's going through, people turning against me, I need rest in my soul. So he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But I can't give you rest physically without giving you rest in your soul. For a long time, I went, my brothers and sisters didn't know what my soul consists of. You get all the emotion about things, that's soul. It ain't saved. Your soul not saved. See? So your soul is for you to renew and for you to keep under your jurisdiction. Your soul is not supposed to run you. You're supposed to get the cracks, the holes, and the wounds, the sin. That's why the psalmist says again, search me, O God. Know my heart, know my soul, try me, know my thought. Then at the end of Hebrews 4:12, he says the word of God is a discerner of the intent and the thoughts of the heart. So if I'm intending to do wrong, if I know I got the word, the intention is not sin. I got to be able to let the Lord shut me down. This is not the right thing to do. This is not going to magnify me. This is not going to glorify the church. So let's shut this down. That didn't come from me. That's a weak feeling you got. And you got so many people feed your soul weakness and feed your soul stuff that does not glorify God, and the person who's feeding it carrying a Bible. See, we all do this. It's all right. Don't be so foggy, man. This is the new day. Sin ain't new, brother. Holiness ain't not new. It's real. It's from God. God bless you.